It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Welcome back to the podcast. Today I'm here with Allie Collins. I just walked up 3 flights of stairs, so I'm out of breath, but I'm ready to get started. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you so much for coming on my little podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So I'll just let you introduce yourself because I'm terrible at it.
Oh my goodness. I doubt that. I'm Allie Collins. I dabble in lots of different things, but I would say a side hustle or a passion project of mine is to teach yoga. So,
and we met at yoga teacher training or before that?
I mean, I had been taking classes at the studio for quite some time prior to teacher training for sure. But I don't expect you to remember me. There's a lot of clients going in and out of the studio. But yeah, I think more so.
We got to really know each other more so in training.
Yeah.
And so process. When was that?
Last year. So was it last year? Yeah, I think it was last year.
Last
I think
spring,
we started in April.
Summer?
Yeah, it was the April group. Yeah, like April to June.
It was such a good group too. And I remember going out on the patio to do teaching labs and just being beat down by the sun because we didn't have the shades up yet. But that was really fun.
It was a fun group. It was a really, a memorable experience. Like I would highly recommend it for anyone.
Okay, so when you're not teaching yoga, what else are you doing? Who are you?
What do I do with my time? I would say primarily I'm a mom. So nice. I have a daughter, 16 years old. And then primary work life is I'm a nurse by trade. Mm-hmm. And while I don't touch patients firsthand any longer, I work more along inside a leadership position around, that sounds very staunchy. compliance, risk mitigation, that kind of a thing. So lots of teaching, development, education, which, great elements flows into teaching yoga, right? So I love to teach.
So you do teaching in your
primary job,
and then you do teaching more like fitness. Do you say, do you think your different paths like merge together in a certain way?
I think there's absolute common thread, right, alongside of it. So, who am I? But gosh, Christina, I have a few years on you. But back in the 80s, which is probably when you were born, I taught aerobics. Do you remember what aerobics was?
Jane Fonda, my mom would watch the videos. She had the socks and the leggings, one pieces. My mom had like big permed hair out with the blue eyeshadow. Like my mom was like a model of the 80s, and she listened to nothing but like Whitney Houston all the time.
Right.
So I remember
Wham. Remember Wham? George Michael. So I started teaching aerobics many, many, many decades ago now, and obviously, right, putting it all together. I started young. I started at 15. I had an amazing mentor, so I came into the business really young. But I did that for years. It supported me through my college education. I ended up teaching at Boeing. I was out in California, and they had a beautiful fitness facility on site for all of their engineers. And so grew up teaching and being in front of people. And I'm an absolute introvert, but for some reason, it brings out like the creative side of me, right? But I don't know, it feeds my soul. And then I get to connect with people. And so I just really thoroughly enjoy that teaching element, and then especially combining it with the fitness component. Mm-hmm. Right? So, that was back in the day. And then it's just evolved into teaching yoga.
Well, how did you go from teaching aerobics, putting yourself through school, nursing, and then you're like, well, let's just dive into yoga. What was it about yoga?
I think just so many years of, there was always an element of endurance sports in my life too. So even while I was teaching aerobics, I started bike racing back in the day.
You did?
Yeah, I did criterium racing back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh my gosh.
And so bike raced for years, and then graduated college. I was like, I don't have time to bike race anymore or teach aerobics. I have to get a full-time job and be like grown up, right? That's why we graduate college. So kind of hung up the bike for a while. Then I decided, oh my God, I miss it. I'm going back to some kind of endurance sports, and I found triathlon. So really dabbled in triathlon for, well over a decade.
What was it that you liked about triathlons?
You know, again, just the competitive component, which was similar to bike racing. But it was kind of fun that you had three sports to kind of juggle, learn, try and master. And at any given day, you know, one would be more dominant than the other. And it's like trying to, you know, just all the components of that. But I love being outside. I love, you know, stressing and pushing my body. So
you always love stressing and pushing your body.
I know. Yeah. Well, not anymore. So much. I will say so much. But so, yeah, I mean, I did that for a long time. And I was exposed to yoga when I was doing triathlon. I can't remember if my chiropractor, you know, was like, you got to go try this, right? Because I've got this like hot fire element of always pushing myself, pushing my body, right? And breaking myself down. And so I went to yoga and I was like, this shit is stupid. I am not, this, what are you, this is not a workout. This is like not happening for me. And so it really took me some time. It took me exploring and, exploring my own reasoning for showing, I still always went back to it.
Why?
And so it really, I know, right? I was like, I'm not really sure about this and I'm not really sure what I'm getting out of it. But then I would find an instructor and I was like, oh, that, I don't know why that resonated with me, but I want to go back, right? Yeah. So early on, just not having that self-awareness so much so of why, but I was like, but it feels good. I'm not really sure why, so I'm just going to go. And so that was kind of that, you know, marrying the yoga into everything else I was doing. And it's just been a continued self-exploration. So that was back in California. Fast forward, I'd moved to Colorado, still explored it out there. Retired from triathlon, went into ultra running and like, you know, because it was easy because I was up in the mountains.
You're
and there's
amazing.
Trails everywhere. So, but I was like, I got to be outside, right? I'm very much like, I want to be outside. So so I did that. Well, high risk for injury, right? Proneness again, just beating down the body. So tried to find a balance and bringing yoga continued in my life. I did do a teacher training years and years ago, and I started teaching out there a little bit. So
you did?
Yeah.
What was the teacher training like?
Amazing. I went through, I don't know if you're aware of Core Power Yoga.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So they were founded in Colorado. I think their headquarters are in Denver.
Okay.
Went through a program from them and loved it. Like just loved it. And it made a lot of sense. Very comprehensive. It was a beautiful, really well put together program. And then so I was like, you know what? Gonna explore teaching. And so I did that a little bit. I had a really highly demanding job. My daughter was young. We had a complex schedule we were balancing with all of it. But yeah, still just always like that yoga element. It was like I'd miss it if I didn't, you know, get to do it. Or
did your family notice any differences with you practicing yoga and what this thing called yoga that you were doing? What did they think of it?
You know, I'd like to say my parents didn't really have any like self-awareness to it at all. So I'd love to say they did, but you know, Dad was like, that's lovely, dear. Like, whatever. I think again, probably 90s, 2000s, like it definitely was like, oh, that's kind of hippie, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a little alternative. Well, it makes sense. You moved to Colorado, right? Like,
okay.
Right. Yep. It's a little granola. Mm-hmm. I'm like, don't worry. I'm not growing out my armpit hair. Like it's all good. I'm still me, but it still for sure served an element, like you were saying. Right now we've learned about the pitta and the mm-hmm. heat and the and trying to find balance internally in the body. And again, it sparked that like awareness and allowed me to grow more into myself.
To balance your fire element.
Yeah, right? I would say, who was I telling just recently? I can't remember. I was having a conversation with someone. Oh, I think it was my daughter's chiropractor. I mean, a hot vinyasa class, you know, even now, I mean, like, kick your ass, hands down. Mm-hmm. I can go for a 5-mile run and not even blink and barely break a sweat. But mm-hmm. hot vinyasa is like a whole nother level. And I have felt physically, right? So you've got the emotional, the spiritual component, which I love, because you didn't have that in endurance running or bike riking or, you know, triathlon.
You didn't have a guide or a teacher to say, yeah. Hey, while you're running, you may have these experiences.
Right.
Don't judge yourself. Nope. And really listen to what your body's telling right. you. Instead, for me, a lot of the coaching I had was like, just keep going.
Just dig deeper, man. Right?
Dig,
just dig deeper.
Deep.
You didn't
no
hit
pain,
the time. You
no
didn't.
Pain. It's like, right? Oh my God.
Well, I think it's so amazing that even in yoga, it's one of the only things, right? Physically, I mean, of course, there's so many other components, but that tells you that it's a practice. Like, right? We're like, show up and it's a practice. Listen to yourself today. What's today? Today's different than the, right? You show up to the track. It's like, you will run the time, do the time trial.
We're going to compare it to all your other times. We're going to compare it to their times.
Yeah.
And then we're going to set a marker for where we want you to meet.
And wouldn't it be amazing to show up to the track and just say, like, this is a practice. Even a race, like, it's still just practice. What can you take away from it? What can you level up for next time? Maybe this wasn't your day, but
what's your
we don't
intention?
Treat it like that. Yeah, we don't treat it like that, right? So I don't know. That really spoke to me over the years. So I've just continued to deepen practice, and that was why I even enrolled in your guys' teacher training last year. So,
well, you had already been teaching.
I'd already been teaching.
And you're like, let's just add some more to the mix.
Yeah, I felt like it was, I think I went through training in 2010. It had been a while, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then practicing at the studio, right? I mean, there's so many amazing instructors over there. So I just felt like it was an opportunity to, like, level up. Like, let's level up. Let's learn more. What more can I do with all of this?
Okay, so what classes are you teaching now?
I do teach a hot vinyasa, and then I teach sculpt. There's my pitta element.
Well, yeah, you came to sculpt with, like, your arms full of those.
I brought the Pilates balls.
The Pilates balls. And they look like these, what, like little medicine balls.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a mini-sized medicine. I think they're about 10 inches. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know.
I just saw everyone's, like, eyes get wide. I'm like, what are these? What are we doing today?
There's so many fun props and things, right, that you can just incorporate into, again, the practice, whether it's a sculpt class or a vinyasa. And, you know, just fire up different, you know, muscle components. You know, I don't know. It's just super fun.
Why is that important to you?
I mean, first and foremost, when people show up to a class, I think there's a level of expectation, right? Most people, I would probably say, come for that physicality element. If they stay long enough, right? Or if they have or develop that self-awareness, that practice again, the instructor mm-hmm. maybe bringing it out, and they learn that there's a mindfulness component, right? But first and foremost, I would say, again, especially at a Hollywood, there's a huge physicality component. People are coming, they're like, bring it, right? So you're like, okay, let's. But it is important. It's important to build that strength component. I think so much, again, like yoga, back when I learned about it in the 90s and 2000s, it was a little hippie, it was a little granola, and it was like, oh, if you were a dancer and you could bend in every direction, that was awesome, right? Like, and I was like, damn, I'm not built like that. And,
same.
Right? Right? Like, I was like, my hip flexors are so, like, because I've done years of forward motion. So there's not a lot of bendability in this body. So I love, again, marrying the components of yoga with that sculpt practice, because I think everybody really does need to have strength before you go into the bend, right? Like, you're not supporting if you're just bending, you can actually injure.
I mean, for years, I thought yoga was just all about flexibility, and it didn't click. The strength piece didn't click. Even when teachers would say, like, engage this muscle, I didn't realize it was about strengthening. And so my wheel practice changed overnight when they were like, strengthen your quads. Really think about opening up through the front side of your body, because I'm just thinking about the back bend. I'm just thinking about my lower back. I'm not thinking about my shoulders, my chest, my quads. And so when I started to be like, oh, I need to create more strength in order to access this part of my body, it just changed my whole practice.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. Like
I love that.
With forward folds too, I'm like, oh, it's just all about my hamstrings. Mm-hmm. Like, no, if you open up your back, you can actually get into a deeper forward fold. So it's a holistic thing. And I think for me, for the longest time, I was very, like, targeting on one point of your body. And I think so many people do that, especially if they're going for a physical exercise. They're like, well, I just want to work this, the back of my arms,
right?
Or I only want to do, like, the lower part of my tummy. You're like, no,
it doesn't work.
It's
like
all
that.
Connected to something, and you can't do that.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I know. And the practice supports that, right? I mean, that's what's so beautiful, too. We can use the creativity to sequence and really envelop all of it, and not, you know, it's not just one targeted little area. So,
okay. So how many classes a week do you teach? Or are you
three.
Selling? Three?
Yeah, three.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Which is a good balance, again, with a full-time job and full-time mom. And I love it. I'm happy to sub. Mm-hmm. Right? Happy to sub here and there. And so I'll sprinkle in when it works with the schedule.
What do you hear from your students who take your vinyasa classes?
Probably more often than not. So I think most recently, some of the feedback, I remember who gave it to me too. She's lovely. She said she felt like the transitions were really smooth. Mm. And so I teach at a studio, which is really more prominent Hatha.
Okay.
And so to have a few of us that are there that are probably more focused on transition, and I love sequencing. So, but again, it's like, you know, I try to tell them, you know, we can sequence and you can work towards a pose, but there's actually work and posing in the prep, in the transition. Mm-hmm. And if you focus on that, you're going to continue to build in your practice. It's not just about getting to the pose. Right? It's the sequencing and the transition up to it.
It's the journey.
Right?
That word journey is now kind of like a joke word. And in my household, we're like, oh, are you on a journey? Is it your journey? but it's only because we laugh at it so much because it's so true.
It's like, when are you not, actually?
We're always on a journey.
Right,
this is our journey.
Right.
And I love taking those yoga classes where the teachers really emphasize transitions and talking about how to get there and not so much perfecting getting there. I went to a music festival this last weekend. I went to All Day I Dream in Oakdale, California at the Woodward Reservoir. And it was their first time putting on a multi-day festival. They usually do like one day off, and I honestly hadn't even heard of them. My girlfriend invited me, and I saw that there was a huge, there's a huge wellness component to this festival, and they really wanted to integrate it into music and mindfulness. So it was 3 days of yoga, meditation, workshops, and even people giving talks. Mm-hmm. So I took a workshop on the intro to sound healing, so that she passed out all these Tibetan sound bowls.
I love that.
How does practice. I listened to a little bit of a guy give a speech about mental health and psilocybin, which
right.
very
that's
trendy.
A whole nother level, right?
Like, that's a
right.
whole other journey.
It's another journey.
I took some really cool yoga classes, and one of the yoga classes that I took, I was so impressed by how she weaved in storytelling, and she used a lot of yoga philosophy, yoga mm-hmm. history. And she brought it into like the modern day. So it didn't feel like sometimes I take a yoga class and I can be such an earth sign. I can be such a Virgo mm-hmm. and I can be really critical and rough edges. And I'm just rolling my eyes at all the fluffy language and the energetics. And when they start to talk about yoga philosophy, I kind of get
check
that.
Out.
I kind of check out. I get that glazed look in my eye. I'm like, this doesn't make sense to me. This isn't modern. And I really struggle with that component. And I felt like she was equal parts, like weird and fluffy, mm-hmm. but also bringing it into that modern piece because we're also dancing 3 days straight, listening to DJs and meeting new friends. And so she physically took care of my little festival body because we're camping and we're like walking everywhere. And I felt this new inspiration. And so I was definitely on a bit of a journey. I kind of forgot why I brought this little piece up, but it's really fun to come back to Boise and kind of get back on track in the yoga studio and feel this new inspiration from just taking from other people and seeing how they transition.
Let me know if they have it next year. I'm totally going. It sounds awesome. I would go.
You have to come. It was
so fun.
It was so fun. I have an overheard at yoga story for you, actually, from...
I want to hear it.
Okay. So here's an example of an overheard at yoga story. I am at this festival. It's dusty out there, and we're taking yoga classes all day long. And I'm a little crispy and crunchy from,
right.
you know, I had a few drinks the night before. I danced till like 2 a.m. and I'm at 9 a.m. yoga.
So you're sweating tequila.
next door to the yoga space, they had a sauna. And the sauna had an entrance on one side and exit on the other. And the exit had these cute little yoga mats that take you down to the lake. So you would sit in the sauna and you'd go cold plunge in the lake. And it was awesome. And then next to that was this really cool tea house. And so you can get some fresh teas. And while I'm in my downward facing dog, I can see the sauna. And so I saw people going in, people going out, jumping in the lake. Really great. Funny part, not so funny. Sometimes clothing was optional. And so there was this gentleman who was like a big guy. I ended up talking to him later on or before this event. And he has like a thick, like Swedish accent, blonde, beautiful, big athletic looking guy. He was loving the sauna. He kept going back and forth between the sauna. And as he's running, I like look over. I just see his junk just flying everywhere. And I'm like, oh my God, don't look, don't look, don't look. And he stopped going into the entrance side and just started going through the exit. Mm-hmm. And so people are coming out of the exit and this big naked man is like running in through the exit. And I just happened to catch him trying to go in through the exit as this like young girl in her early 20s, fully clothed, by the way, is coming out. And she like mortified. Looks up at this naked man just like blocking the doorway. And you see her like, her just like shake her head and throw up her arms.
Not know what to do with
and
it all.
And he's just like, oh, sorry, just trying to get into the sauna. That was my like funny moment in yoga. Gosh. I was not expecting to see that. I was actually sitting next to him in the psilocybin and mental health conversation. And the man giving the talk was really educated and mm-hmm. he's a counselor and he was talking to people about the work that he does combining both methods mm-hmm. together and how interesting it is and the science and the studies. And so at the very end of his speech, a guy had stood up and said, hey, I'm not a mental health professional. However, I have been a patient and I have been involved in these types of situations and it's really helped me with my depression and my anxiety. And if anyone has questions about the experience of it, I'm happy to answer your questions. And so this big half naked Swedish guy leans over with his thick accent. And he's like, do you think he's selling drugs?
Like, maybe.
I was like, I don't know. And then, you know, like a little while later, I see him naked running into the sauna.
He was taking full advantage of the sauna.
I was like, I wonder if you talked to that guy after.
Did you ever just lean over to him and be like, hey, I've seen all of you. Like, I saw all of you. You'd be like, oh, she saw my. You'd be like, I saw all of it. All of you.
I saw all
Take
of
Take it
you.
What you mean, right? Soul or junk or whatever.
I mean.
Saw it all.
And I was stone cold sober, so that was like a fun Good weekend stuff. To get out and play. I hope they do it again. I'd love to apply again. No one knew who that guy was. I just showed up and I'm from Idaho teaching yoga. Right?
You're like, the last time I traveled, well, when I was down in Austin last year, I went to a wellness festival and they're like, I remember, you know, one guy, he's like, Idaho, where is that? I'm like, oh my Lord, due north, just straight north. You know where Canada is? We're right before it. Just
I always get Iowa, like, Ohio.
Yeah. I'm like, y'all don't know your geography. We're just straight up. Yeah. So.
Okay. You have to tell us where students can find your classes.
Oh, you're so sweet. So I am teaching up at Eagle Yoga House primarily, which is just off of State Street in Eagle, right across from Eagle Island State Park. So I'm up there. It's close to home. It works out well. And then I am fortunate enough to get to sub for Hollywood Market when it comes out. So thank mm-hmm. you.
Yes, so absolutely.
I'm there as well. Yeah, mostly those two places.
And then I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
Oh my goodness. You know, it's so funny. I was like, so, you know, you told me yesterday and I thought, oh man. And so you can see I brought my Living the Sutras book, but I was like, do we have time to go deep on this? I, you know, you hear all sorts of crazy stuff, don't you? But I would say primarily, right, you're always getting new students coming up to the desk and they're like, oh, I haven't been here before, I'm new, or before class or after class. So I was like, if I could just wrap it up to like one common theme is I think so often we still are showing up to yoga with a whole lot of self-judgment. Right. It's like, I haven't done this before and I don't know if I'm going to be good at it. Or, you know, after class, you're like, oh my gosh, you're like, she was so good in front of me. And I'm like, why are you even giving a shit? Like, mm-hmm. just look inward. Like, it doesn't matter. Or, you know, am I going to be okay? Or this is, you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, just chill, right? Just chill. Like, stop judging yourself. And we do it in every facet of our lives. So it's like just trying to bring awareness to don't do that. Like, it doesn't matter. Just go in the back or go in the corner, whatever you're comfortable with. But I would say more often than not, people are like, oh, I did this, or I was worried, or she laid down next to me and I was thankful because I was hot and tired too. Like, you're like, dude, don't worry about it.
We need validation. Like, I'm not the only one who is hot. They're also hot. They're taking a break. And my very first teacher training, I was, I felt like I couldn't take the training unless I was already perfect. Like, you had mm-hmm. to be perfect to take a training for some reason. I don't know. Right. And I remember like the studio had just opened. It was one of the very first classes and the teacher trainer was teaching and I had just barely met him in the lobby before class. And so I really wanted to like show like how good I am at yoga.
There's the judgment.
Oh
right?
My gosh.
Like, I'm going to kill it.
And anyway, I basically got hot and I needed to take a break and I was trying to fight it internally. Like, don't take a break. Like, you can do it. And then I was finally like, girl, you need to take a child's pose. And in my child's pose, I'm so frustrated. I'm like, dang it. I had to take a child's pose and no one else is taking one. And I'm so upset about it. And fast forward a few days into training, I'm partnered up with a friend and she shared with me, she said, I saw you take child's pose in yoga and I can't tell you how much that actually inspired me because she comes from a very athletic, competitive background. And she said she has that internal dialogue as well where you're not allowed to take breaks. You have to like push through it. And she said that really inspired her that I was listening to my body. And yeah. I was like, girl, you have no idea what was going on in my head when I did that. Right. But then I was like, yes, I am a good yogi because I took a break. So right. There's the whole other side of that pendulum as well. But
isn't that amazing how she picked up on that and like what her takeaway was just yeah. from you doing your own stuff?
Like, well, I thought for sure they'd be like, oh, this girl shouldn't be in training. She's too weak. Instead, she was like, wow, I could take a cue from you because right. I've injured myself multiple times because I have not taken a break. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I didn't even think about that.
Right? Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. We're all still summon ourselves up against one another all the time.
I definitely have that judgment with sculpt class.
Do you?
Oh, my God. Like, I really struggle with that class. It's not really yoga. Like, it is, but it isn't.
I've always said it's yoga on crack. It's like, right? It's like, yeah, it's
there we
like
go.
Yoga on crack. You're like, what the hell is this?
I'm holding a high lunge and now yeah. I'm pulsing and I'm holding weights over my head right? and now
Why?
I'm pulsing.
Why am I doing this?
But yeah. then I always feel so much stronger in my yoga practice afterwards. Just like after I do yin, which I also used to think yin is stupid. But then I would feel so much more flexible and open in my traditional yoga practice. So I think having our studio offer yin and sculpt and different modalities of yoga, they all kind of balance each other out.
Yeah. And everyone should explore all of them, right? Mm-hmm. We also get in our patterns and our ways and it's like, I'm only going to that class and that instructor and that's it. And it's like, you know, it's okay to be a little uncomfortable, right? It might deepen your practice further if you do try a different modality.
So as a pizza fire uh-huh. who loves sculpt and hot vinyasa, what's your cool down method? What's your yin?
I mean, outside of yoga, I would say definitely. So I would always try and build a component in the class, regardless, right? Been very mindful of, and again, depending upon the time that I teach, right? Some mornings different than evening. Like mm-hmm. I taught last night, it's evening. People are tired. Your bodies are tired, and you're coming in, and I'm going to ask you to demand of yourself for an hour, right? Mm-hmm. So, allowing them time. You know, it's not uncommon. We'll do a full 3-minute shavasana, right? And you're like, that feels luxurious when you're actually down on the mat, and you're like, when is she going to tell me to get out of this? It's like, nope, just lay there. Mm-hmm. So building those components in and then me just trying to connect into it. But personally, I mean, I certainly most mornings wake up early, spend time in meditation, prayer, whatever you want to call it, right? Whatever works for you, in journaling and using that really quiet meditative time. Sometimes I'll just do it outside, sit on the patio. Like, I love to connect and feel nature, feel the sun come up, align with that circadian rhythm. So to me, starting slow is amazing. Like, there's my quiet time, my reflection time. And then it's like, I can gear up and jump in a little bit, but I want that 90 minutes of, you know, mellow.
So in the past, would you say you're the type to just jump out of bed and get going?
I was for many years. Yeah. And honestly, probably in the last 3 or 4, I figured out for a long time, I didn't have a choice. But in the last 3 or 4 years, I actually am able to have that opportunity, right, to really build my own schedule in the morning. I didn't have a choice for many years, mm-hmm. But it didn't serve me well. There's so much more to that. We could do like 4 more podcasts around that. But right, so like just recognizing and have the self-awareness to know, like, you know what, this wasn't fucking serving me to get up and go do the 5 a.m. whatever, you know, whether it was Sculpt or, you know, Cycle Bar or whatever. It's like it wasn't serving me to be pushing all the time.
Why not? When did you realize that?
In the last few years, I think, I moved from Colorado to here. Uh-huh. I had an incredibly demanding job out there. I literally worked 7 days a week for 3.5 straight years in this role. And so the only way to get that physical workout in was to get up at 4:15 in the morning and do it super early before my daughter got up, because we had to leave the house 5 days a week at 6:30 a.m.
Wow.
And I would run easily a 12, 14 hour workday, come home, feed her, get her to bed. And so it was like, you know, sleep, wake up. And if I didn't do it, it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So because I was demanded elsewhere. But that didn't serve me. It was like, I needed to sleep 2 more hours.
Sleep is so important.
Just scratch the shower and the makeup and just get up at 6:10 and leave at 6:30, right? So I think it's just an awareness as you move through your life and reflect, like, what works, what doesn't work. But in the last few years, I was like, that doesn't work for me.
Were you just feeling run down?
Slower wake up. Mm-hmm. Super run down. And it showed up physically. Like, it will. If you ignore your body long enough, it will show up physically somehow, some way. And so that was, you know, it was like, oh, shoot, I really probably need to dig in and figure out and pay attention to what do I need? It's not even a pandemic anymore. It's an endemic. But the endemic was really eye-opening to me, because I remember getting off a plane on Wednesday and everything shut down Friday, March 13th, that was when we shut it all down.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been flying back and forth to Washington, which was like the eruption, the genesis. My daughter's like, you're going to catch it. It's so funny. But anyhow, I didn't, luckily. But, and it was like, I guess I'm going to sleep, because I don't have to get up. Like, she doesn't have to get to school. There is no class to get to. And so that was really an eye-opening time, and allowed me to self-explore. Like, what does feel good? What does this look like? For a hot minute, girl, I slept like 10 and a half hours a day. And I was like, what is wrong with me?
Wow.
And I remember reaching out to my practitioner, and she was like, your body's telling you that you need it. Because I was like, this cannot be normal. Who sleeps this much? Like, I'm fit. I'm healthy. Like, why am I sleeping so much? And she was like, your body needs it. And, you know, 8-10 weeks into the pandemic, like, I was like, oh, okay, 8.5-9 hours feels good. But to not be rushed up and out, like, I was like, this is really feeling freaking awesome. I'm going to, you know, explore this. And, you know, by way of the endemic, we were allowed to. So that was a big awe-inspiring, you know, it's like I used to show up to the 6 a.m. I'd get up at 10 to 5 and make the drive and get to class and
work a full day.
Yeah. And not so much anymore. Not so much. I really take that quiet time. Try to find the balance.
I love that.
And you can show up to Sculpt and you're like, man, we're ready to hit it, right? Mm-hmm. Because you had that balance, that downtime. So
I love that. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. What a great way to balance that. I'm still working on creating balance, finding my way. It's, for me, it's very moment to moment.
Is it a journey, Christina?
It's still a journey.
Right. It's just one of those journeys.
It really is. Like today, I had this plan, right? I have a plan. It's going to happen. I'm going to go to work at this time. This is going to happen. I'm all ready to go to work. And my boyfriend had already left, and he had an appointment across town in Meridian. And I go out to my car and I realize that I left my car keys in his truck.
Oh, shoot.
And he's in the middle of an appointment. So then I was like,
I'm not going anywhere.
I was like, okay, I'll work from my phone. I was going to do X, Y, and Z. And he came back an hour later. It worked out. But I was just like, well, that plan goes out the window. And was it the end of the world? No, it was fine.
Isn't that awesome? Right. Mm-hmm. You live to tell about it.
It's like, wow, I got an extra hour to hang out with my dogs outside and
at home.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll do that again and just not have it be forced. Try it like one morning a week. Just build time for yourself.
Well, I wish the spare key to my car would work also, because then I could just grab the spare key. But the spare key only unlocks it, because for some reason my car only has, you can only code one key to let it run. It's a whole thing.
I don't know.
Well, the future.
I think it was the universe telling you, guess what?
Guess what?
Yeah, your plan is not going to go the way you wanted it to today.
Ali, thank you so much for sharing and being on my little podcast. I'm so thrilled that you came on. I admire you. I think you're such an incredible spirit and person to have at the studio and teacher. So I really appreciate you.
Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, that's the episode. Thanks so much. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. Please rate and review us. It's a great way to help others find the community. If you found this podcast interesting or valuable, please share it with a friend. Also, if you are interested in sponsoring or showing support, you can contact me via email. It's xtinayoga@gmail.com. Otherwise, please follow on Instagram, overheard at .yoga.